This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, people? This is the Reverend Spiro, and I got my friend
Crazy Legs Conti,
and we are here tonight for another exciting episode of Eating Disorder. And we've got an interesting couple of guests.
Right before we went on, the largest cloud of vapor smoke ever. It looked like Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Yes.
It was shot out of a VHS machine, a portable VHS machine.
And that's our friend Jordy Trachtenberg. Say hi.
Welcome, Jordy.
And we have our original host, Adam Velez, who hasn't been here in a while.
I haven't been here, no. I've been sunbathing for the past 8 months.
It is Speedo season.
My areolas could cut glass.
Seriously. Like, it wasn't like we haven't asked you, bitch.
No, you fucking asked me. You asked me, but listen, I had shits to take. I had things to do. I had court cases and whatnot. So I'm here, and I'm happy as hell to be here. It's refreshing to see you guys.
So, how was your week this week?
I go like strikes and gutters. You know, we had a great guest last week, Brittany Ashley, well-known.
Awesome.
Lesbian female comedian.
Yes.
I guess two of those
had to be said
mutually exclusive
or non-mutually
exclusive. But so I went and I saw her show on Thursday night on McDougal Street. I forgot the comedy club's name, but because there's four of them there, I just kept asking.
Great.
Saw the show. It was great. A lot of comics. I think I spotted like the next Fran Drescher, like this tiny girl with giant glasses.
From Long Island?
Really dirty jokes with an accent.
I don't know.
I can't remember her name, though. But
Coffee?
And then I thought, you know, I had such a pleasant time chatting with her. And it's nice sometimes as a guy, you have a lesbian friend who's an attractive woman. You know, there's no sexual tension. It's like when Harry Met Sally for 2015. And I was on the subway back, and I saw this picture of this girl, Hannah Hart. Have you seen these photos?
No.
They're all YouTube photos with people with like 5 billion fans. And this is
I assume she's
a lesbian. I have a picture for the in-studio guest. This is her. Would you think?
Oh.
It's a very
petite... see that on the fucking subway.
Yes,
I have no idea who she is.
I thought I
stepped on her foot
while I was on the L train.
She looks like the fucking finance woman. What's her name?
No.
She looks like anybody on the L train.
She's a
if she committed a murder on the L train, it'd be a lineup forever.
But Hannah Hart, she is my YouTube doppelganger.
Wow.
I have a YouTube channel, Coleman's Bar and Grill.
Right.
I average about 7 views. I do a show called Drunken Chef, where I get really drunk while I attempt to cook like Jamie Oliver's homemade pasta.
Oh,
but it's mostly because I'm home, I'm cooking. The production value is terrible. Now, she has a show called My Drunk Kitchen, and she has 5 million views. She decided she wanted to take it on the road. In 3 hours, she raised $50,000.
Holy shit.
She kept it going. She raised $220,000. She just showed up in people's kitchens all over the world, kept shooting her show. She has a cookbook, My Drunk Kitchen. I don't even know if it counts as a cookbook. The most technical recipe is a peanut butter sandwich with potato chips.
Oh, wow. She's blowing up. I actually saw her.
She's like Mitt Romney's, wife who created
So I blame Brittany Ashley, last week's guest, for making me think like everything was going to be copacetic if I wanted in the world of, petite, cute lesbians, then I'd be in the land of unicorns. And
it puts the lotion on the skin, or
it was terrible. What's going on with you there, Revo?
I want to do my stone kitchen. I just want to call that out.
Oh, my God.
I want to capture that.
Yeah. Would you always cook with, weed? Or, would that be the secret ingredient?
No, I would first
get
super stone, and then I would cook with weed.
And then I would
eat when I've cooked and get really, really stoned.
But I like the idea that you... Because you're so stoned, you don't realize that every week the secret ingredient is actually weed, and you're just exciting and building it up.
Well, yeah, it's
every
like
week I'm going to make the same dish because I forgot what I made the week before.
The Iron Chef.
Real cheese.
And, the secret ingredient is weed.
A place I worked, there's a lot of underground weed dinners, though, that are happening. I haven't been
I've actually heard of that.
Chefs love to work with weed.
Yeah.
Or get
high. It's delicious.
I'm surprised they're not getting busted up. Put your hands up. Yeah, chefs like
the DEA
getting pinched over here for trying to have weed parties.
Or somebody like the people who give out the letter grades for the restaurants. all right,
there's
so
an alcohol zone out there somewhere.
You got a stack of papers there. You got some stuff you want to cover.
It's always my notes, man.
Your notes.
The one thing I want to cover is the fact that McDonald's is looking to offer kale.
Kale.
McDonald's is also offering apologies.
We'll do an eating disorder quiz. The number one purchaser of kale as of 15 years ago was whom?
Diners?
Not diners. Jordy, you got an idea?
Yeah, I'm stumped.
And the purpose for their purchase. I'll give you who the purchaser was. It was Arby's.
Really?
Now, what were they using it for, though?
To garnish their sandwich.
Toilet paper.
Because the only time I ever saw kale used was it was just us hiding the blade scratches on the ceramic plate of us doing fucking lines of blow. And we put kale, so when they got the plate, they didn't see all these it was almost like cross-hatching artwork.
Yeah. That was. I don't think that was why Arby's said they did it, but they did it as garnish.
I guarantee you that is why.
For the free fixings bar. So now McDonald's is saying what? They're introducing McKale. McKale is coming?
It's going to be introduced.
Not the McRib.
Is it just by itself?
McRib had a heart attack.
It's part of their salads. They want to introduce kale.
Introduce kale like we haven't met before? Or?
Yes, exactly.
Actually, the place I was bartending, the chef slipped, opening night, he slipped on a piece of kale by the service entrance, and he broke his foot. And really? So it was off the menu.
Which is exactly what the problem with kale is because it's a surfboard.
It's good for you, but it wasn't
leather.
Good for him.
It's like, you know.
Now, McDonald's is introducing McKale. Mm-hmm. Have you also seen they're reintroducing the burglar? The hamburger?
A hamburger. No, it's frightening. Well, I don't give a fuck about the hamburger.
No,
I'm looking for Grimace.
No,
Jordy,
where is Grimace?
It's frightening. He's frightening, right?
It's frightening, yeah.
Now, do you feel like he looks more like a pedophile?
Yeah,
because they're saying he looks like a hipster.
But Arby's had that guy that looked like a retard from the Rocky movies. Don't you remember? Like, all scruffy and like...
The hamburger?
He was in prison.
He was like...
No, the curly mustache should look like the guy from the freaking Brewers.
No, dude, he looked like he crawled out of a dumpster.
So how long do we think the new Hamburglar is going to last?
As long as that Happy Meal box lasts in the fridge.
Look, it was always the Noid. Remember the Noid?
That was a Domino's.
Domino's.
No?
I mean, that was a nasty. It was like a cockroach.
I did the Domino's.
Whoa!
What, you like Domino's?
I kind of had a thing for the Noid.
I did the Domino's tasting menu one time. I ate everything that was had.
Oh my God! Did you fart?
It all tasted the same. The desserts to the pizza.
Oh
to
my
the
God!
They
tell you it was all the same thing.
It is all the same thing.
Pepperoni ice cream sundae.
I think.
Is it true that Subway all their meats are turkey derivatives? That's what I heard. Seriously, I heard everything that you.
So are their breads.
Yeah, that's plastic. The breads are plastic.
They should just make the meat be the bread and then put all those fixings on the inside.
They're like the turkey of Christ.
Well, you know what? Yeah, the thing with the problem with that is
Blimpy
was so much better than
Caesar
Subway.
Pizza.
It was.
Dude, fuck it. I missed Tad Steaks. That's all I'm saying.
Which location?
14th Street. Come on.
34th Street.
See, I was about 34th Street.
Next to the OTB?
Yeah.
That was good days.
Do you know how hard it is to find an OTB?
What's that?
I wanted to bet on the recent races.
They don't exist anymore.
There's three left.
I thought they were all gone.
Oh, no, but there's three. There's one called the OTB Club on 36th, and that's as close as I can. And one on Wall Street.
Or you go to the Turkey's Nest here.
Triple Crown. I think it's happening. I think the horse Pharaoh's whatever king is going to win the Triple Crown. And we got it. New York, Belmont Stakes.
That's it.
Belmont.
I wish if Subway served horse Cavallo instead of turkey derivatives, I would eat there more often.
Horse bread.
By the way, we don't really have a sponsor, but Heritage Foods USA has a big Memorial Day special coming up for those who like artisanal meats. I got the email right before I left. It was the last email. Hey, did you see a story about a Nigerian restaurant that was shut down for serving human flesh?
Well, yes,
is that in your notes?
But actually, it was not. According to even the Post, it's been retracted.
Because it was from 2 years ago?
Because the meat wasn't USDA grade.
Crazy Link says it like it's a bad thing.
They weren't sure if it was actually human meat.
You know, it was warm and salty.
I'd like to know that it was, because you know I have a fetish for freaking cannibalism.
He loves
stories.
Cannibals.
I love it.
A cannibal from Mad Max, which you should all see.
I mean, come on.
You know what? Has anyone seen the new Mad Max?
I haven't. I want to see it.
I won't spoil it. It is awesome.
It's awesome. I hear good things.
Saturday, I was cleaning windows. It's one of my jobs.
You're obviously not involved in the man's, what do you call it, the whole thing about the men's rights.
Oh, this was a manly
equal
outing.
For equal pay.
This was a manly outing. I finished window cleaning. The first window cleaning customer had made us some scones, so I had them in my window cleaning bucket. We were down at Battery Park. We were drinking at the Patriot. And then we couldn't find a deli to buy beer, so I got a nice bottle of chilled rosé.
Nice.
So it was myself and six dudes just eating scones and rosé.
There are actually men's rights groups that are trying to boycott Mad Max.
Because why? Really? Charlize Theron is too
hot.
Emasculating? Too hot?
No, because they were brought up by fucking Al Bundy and their little man children with tiny penises. That's why.
I don't know.
Okay.
Ho, ho, ho,
Jordy,
ho,
can you translate
ho.
That? Because I don't understand
just
what's...
Just lay off the tiny penis stuff.
Listen, what? There's people here with tiny penises. They deserve an
I don't
voice.
Understand. Explain that to me. Why are they protesting?
There is a group of men.
Yes.
Okay. These men have this thing about men's rights. Like men somehow lose their rights, right, when... the truth to be told, women have been losing their rights for years, and they're trying to create a situation the same as like the, it's almost like a men's white power situation.
Wait, and they're against Mad Max,
yes.
A movie in which the females are being bred and kept as human slaves? They're pro Mad Max?
No, so they're not. They're against Mad Max because they're actually the women actually get empowered.
No, oh. The women are kept as slaves.
You saw the movie.
It's
no,
a
no, no, I know, but they actually, but there's too many women killing too many men.
Those people are so misguided, but clearly they all went to Pitch Perfect 2 because it grossed twice what Mad Max grossed. So I think it was like 77 million versus 44 million.
That was their choice. Pitch Perfect
those pitches
and Mad
are
Max.
Back, and those
right,
men's
so
groups like it.
I got one.
Go
I
ahead,
one.
What do you got?
All right, it's a... There's a great prank group, mm-hmm. right, in New York, and they did a tourist lane in New York. What they did is they're a performance art group, and what they did was they created a line down the sidewalk, and they put tourists on one side, New Yorker on the other.
And see, people
this
fell
is not
for
new.
It, right?
This is not new. I remember a few years back.
These are the
there
people.
Was a guy who did that. Okay. He spray painted the entire sidewalk. He divided the sidewalk with a line of spray paint, and he wrote on one side tourists, and he wrote on one side New Yorkers. And I remember that, and I remember reading about it in the New York Post, which is the best fucking
I would agree with you. I'm a New York Post reader
it's
myself.
It's hysterical. It's their all opinion, no news.
Yes.
And
but
I remember that. And
people have been falling for it.
This is improv.
It was Charlie Todd, improv.
Yeah, they do the pants. The people always ask me, like, did I participate in the... no pants subway ride, and I'm like, I don't wear pants every day.
I cannot stand that. It's like you can make a fucking anything, like lollipop in your ass Wednesday. And
yeah,
like,
I did see,
everybody
I,
put
wait,
lollipop.
It is
wait, that's gonna be our next episode. Hold on.
That is.
I don't know
if
you think
about
Wednesday.
It, they make up whatever the fuck. No yeah. pants subway.
I got to see my neighbor in her panties. It was worth it for me.
Boom, done. Neighbor in the panties.
Sometimes, listen, there's a visual, there's a aesthetic to it. I'm not gonna lie to that.
Were you in your panties, Jordy?
No,
mira, son tan a la y don panty. Mira, do you in your panties?
I have to walk around with a sock.
Okay, actually, since we're wrapping up the first half. Jordy was in an apartment right across from our friend Jimmy Carbone.
Yep, Jimmy Pots and Pants.
And the collapsed buildings.
Of course.
I mean,
yeah.
You want to give us a little bit about
did you
that?
Lose your panties in that collapsing?
Shit,
my panties. The panties, they collapsed.
His building was like just bordering.
Two doors, two buildings brutal. Down.
Are you on the B&H Dairy side of the street?
No, you know where I am? Okay, so B&H Dairy, if you were able to walk behind it, that alleyway
I'm
on St. Mark's between 2nd and 3rd.
There's plenty of panties peppered in that alleyway.
Absolutely.
They say B&H. Do you eat at B&H?
Dude, I feel so bad for B&H. Like, absolutely eat there. It's like one of my favorite places.
Yes.
And the city is really giving them a hard time on reopening when they should be supporting small mom and pop businesses. It's like almost like a crime. And you know, my fucking borscht, my whitefish salad, my chicken. Food's important, you know, and it's a neighborhood place.
And
so,
I don't think across the street, I don't think Stage is going to reopen.
Stage is done.
But we're
and that's horrible.
As we go to break, go to Facebook to B&H Dairy, support the cause. They say they'll be open in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
2 weeks, two weeks. Let's hope
2 weeks?
So.
Yeah, it's like Total Recall.
See
2 weeks?
Can I get a little water?
It's right here.
We'll be right back. Boy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
We are back.
Reintroduce the guests, Revo.
This is the Reverend Spiro. We got Jordy Trachtenberg. Say hello. We got Adam Velez, our old host.
There we go.
I'm still here. Crazy Legs Conti. Liz the engineer had to come in to sort of sardonically say,
food.
She's like, well, I guess this is the show where just four people just yell over each other.
No, but it's one of those shows. Hey. All right, listen, I want to take it this way. Mm-hmm. This man,
yes.
Jordy, today was in Union Square, and he is a giant tattooed Jew.
Okay. Oh, what does that mean?
I'll get to that.
I know what that means.
It's not a euphemism.
No.
Honestly, I'm so curious.
No, because today on Facebook, his Facebook profile blew up because there were some bullshit asshole neo-Nazis in Union Square doing what they called free speech, and Jordy decided to intervene.
I exercised the same right.
Oh, all right. Did you go undercover or what?
No, it was like it was a really odd moment.
It was not undercover.
All right. No. I'm trying to shake some fat off my ass. So I've been like walking 5 miles every day with my Fitbit. I'm crossing through.
Nice.
Yeah. Walking through Union Square. And I see a small man and about 50.
You mean a dwarf or an actual small man?
No, a small guy. A small soul.
As a dwarf, that's good radio.
Thank you, dwarf. But, black slacks, black shoes, white shirt with a black tie.
And, he looked like the devil's Mormon.
Yeah, I mean, just really. But he was really.
I would have laughed earlier, but I was sipping on a Modelo.
Yes.
He was spewing, straight up hatred against Jews. And, like, the funny thing is, like, I really do believe in freedom of speech, and he absolutely has the right to stand there like a douchebag.
Yeah.
But I don't.
But I have that right, too. Yeah. And, the nice thing about, being a gigantic guy loaded with tattoos, the big beard, when I get angry.
Intimidating.
People step up. And you know what? I'm not. I'm a big loving guy.
Right.
I'm more of a teddy bear. But, I wasn't looking for confrontation, but he started to, spew his shit.
Rev, you said neo-Nazis or just anti-Semitic? Because if it's a neo-Nazi...
When they're wearing uniforms, is what he's saying.
Who's he going after, Sammy Davis Jr. is the only guy I could think of.
Hey, baby, I don't know what's going on.
All right, so this guy just hated everybody. He was
he was focusing on Jews. False Jews, Jews control the media, money, Jews, bad Jews.
Uh-huh.
And, bad Jews. Yeah, so, I put my cell phone camera on, and I stepped right in front of him. And, I had a decision to make.
On our Facebook page tomorrow. Yes.
The decision was, do I sink down immediately to his level,
right.
Match him on his level, intimidate the fuck out of him, or do I make it a freedom of speech issue? And I knew that there was a lot of people around listening to him. So to go down to his common level, I think it was easier for everybody to digest. So I stood in front of him and started to yell, you ignorant fuck. And every time he would open his mouth and be like, you ignorant fuck. And then there was just a standoff. He didn't want to open his mouth. And I was like, okay, now you got a big, a loudmouth fucking Jew in front of you.
Right.
Jew. What are you going to do? Are you going to let me hear? And he wouldn't say anything.
You shouted him into silence.
Drilling down on him for a couple of minutes, being highly aggressive, louder than him, he kind of went to a state of shock. He just tried to stare me down, which was not about to happen.
Right.
I stopped filming. The cops come over and say, hey, you can't do that. And I look at the cops. I'm like, listen, don't judge me by my appearance.
Yeah.
I know my rights.
Right.
I know about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
I have a lawyer on retainer.
It. Yeah.
Let me tell you how this is.
Because you're a Jew.
Right.
He sat there. He said, tradition.
Meanwhile, my lawyer right now is probably cafelling and all pissed off. But hello, Matthew Kaplan. I said, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to out-scream him until either you arrest both of us or you arrest him for inciting a riot. And then one cop looked at the other cop and was like, inciting a riot. And they turned around and they started to bully him and, you know, to cuff him. And that's when I really got in his face.
Wow.
I started yelling, ignorant fuck, go home.
Yes, he got and he took the bitch off.
That sounds like the plot of Tina Fey's next web series.
The only thing I was like, okay, he just became a fucking skinhead martyr. Yeah. But there's only 5 skinheads left in New York, so who gives a shit?
Yeah. And they're all from Long Island, apparently.
But, all right.
Okay.
I want to bring it back to Jordy again.
Yes.
Because Jordy is also my friend who is a ramen.
Yeah.
You're a ramen fan.
I originally wanted to come on the show about ramen.
Well, apparently you had the same.
Stopping Nazi ass gets me on your fucking show.
You had the same.
Stuffing noodles does shit for me.
You apparently had the same scenario with a knockoff ramen place where you were like, you ignorant fucks.
Today's been a fucking.
Those are wontons.
This is why we can't have nice things, you motherfuckers.
And the cops were like, this is not a freedom of speech issue. You're not even eating at this point.
You have a ramen issue.
Yeah. So what happened? You called out a bunch of fake ramen places. That's what I'm to understand?
I was interviewed. You know, I do write for Thrillist. Another guy who writes for Thrillist called me and says, you know, what do you think the warning signs are for, like, a place that's serving ramen that maybe you shouldn't be serving ramen? And, like, I want to make it very clear. I've never claimed to be a ramen expert. I'm a, you know, fat Jew who loves to suck
You're
noodles.
You're an enthusiast.
I'm a ramen enthusiastic on the quest.
I just love noodles. On the quest, I don't know what I love. I just love noodles. Ramen.
I can admire that. Yeah. That is so a that's tough. Like, that's like a Alexander Jordowski movie. Really,
I think I'm going to find it, too. But I think it's going to take a long time. But
now,
I'm going
to
find that ball.
Are you limiting it to New York or are you saying the world?
Dude, it's, you know, my goal is to somehow, I'm kind of scheming and plotting right now to make it to Japan. I want to show that ramen is regional. It's based on the climate and local ingredients.
Of course. I've been to the ramen museum Yokohama twice.
You're killing
now, but here's the story, Jordy. Holy here's the story, Jordy. So the first time I went, I was they allow you. It's vending machines to get into the place. The place is real ramen joints based, as Jordy said, on the different regions. And so I would do a half bowl at each place. Yeah. But I ended up getting
weed.
No, I ended up getting a place that was so. It was like. A lot of us have lived in New York a long time. Imagine, like, the end of the night at a 42nd Street peep show place. Whoa. The smell was
it was
over-porked. It was just pork broth. And things like that.
It sounds magical. It sounds magical.
You would think that, but it was just too it was too much.
Yeah.
So the next year when I went, I said, all right, whatever we do. And I was with one guy who was kind of a jerk. I was like, whatever we do, we got to figure out which place is which. I just walked into the same place and they completely mistaken. But let me ask you a few New York places then, your opinions. And Ippudo.
I'm impressed with it because they make their own noodle on site, and I think that's, you know, pretty hard thing to accomplish.
Yep.
You know, everybody, what's your favorite, blah, blah, blah. It's really hard because I guess for me it's a mood thing or a time thing. Like, you know, in the middle of the night, I know
it's
secret.
It's like my girlfriend with ice cream.
That's right. Mm.
Well, good thing you added with ice cream.
It's a mood thing and a time thing. I don't know.
You know she's in the room with us, right?
I know. I'm going to get castrated by the end of this show. Yeah. I'm sorry, but what
are you saying? Like midnight, you know, secret ramen joints that are open from midnight to 4 or, you know, having hankering for... Like Ivan Ramen, it reminds me of my grandmother. And
Ivan Ramen, the best I've had there was a lunchtime offering of the cold lemon ramen.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. I've read his cookbook, and
that's
his vision.
Yeah, his story is amazing.
His story is phenomenal.
Amazing, phenomenal.
But I've yet to, like, really gel at his place. I like Ippudo a lot. I like the place on St. Mark's, Setagaya. They moved over from First Ave. But you can't really go wrong. I mean...
Yeah, Setagaya.
What do we need to do? Like a GoFundMe or Kickstarter to get you to Japan? Like the round-trip ticket? The round-trip ticket, but only an hour and a half at a train station for ramen, and then you got to come back?
You got to go.
Yeah.
I'm scheming a plot. I got some things
holler
on the
at Ricky Gervais. Let's do some like ramen broad instead of idiot broad. Right. It's something else. Like, something
I love Toto. I love Hai Chan.
Okay,
I love Miso Ya, which is kind of like an underrated.
Is Miso Ya the place by us on Second Avenue?
Yeah, it is.
I have not gone
there
yet.
Interesting because it's all miso based, and again, miso is regional. And, it gets really kind of nerdy. And I've been doing some ramen events, which is always
nice,
fun.
The two of you should hang. I mean, seriously,
dude, I'd love to see how much noodles you.
You guys will Lady in the Tramp a fucking noodle.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. Nuts to butts.
Oh my god.
Mouth to mouth.
Yeah, so I'm being persecuted today because of this article. You know, I made some comments and, you know, everybody has their opinion. even though some of them are
assholes. Well, it's like 99-cent pizza. It's like these slices are awful. Listen, they're atrocious. When I was in sixth grade home economics, I made a better pizza with the Easy Bake oven.
Yeah.
So for people to get upset about...
Yeah, but at the same time, Jordy, in sixth grade, they would serve us that shit in the lunchroom.
But to get upset about calling out fake ramen places, you're doing us a service.
I think one of the things people got upset about is, like, you know, I do believe 100% will stand by that ramen sucks if it's, you know, taken to go or taken out after, you know, the noodle just destroys itself.
Yeah. Have you seen the Ramen Girl movie?
Yeah,
with
Tampopo is much better.
Tampopo,
but I will say this: there is a scene.
Ramen Girl. I'm sorry, I got a little misty. It was a good movie. Yes, I did.
Okay,
there's a scene.
No, you got misty on Roger Rabbit.
No, Ramen Girl.
Roger Rabbit.
There's a scene in there where this old like ramen master comes in to give his blessings on ramen.
Yes,
he sticks his finger into the broth and then into his mouth. He coughs, kind of nods out, then opens his eyes and gives the nod and like. Everybody in the room erupts and gets crazy. And I saw that. I was like, okay, you know what? That's the final. That's the end. I want to become that fucking dude, you know?
Yep. You gotta shave your head and join the monastery in Tibet.
Aputo's never had a DVD release in the U.S., as far as I know.
Tampopo. I got it off of Amazon.
I own Two Boots' VHS of that, actually. They gave it to me.
I have a VHS of Sid and Nancy. That's a great movie, man. Phenomenal.
I'm more of a fan. Labyrinth.
There's no ramen in
that. What are you up to these days? Now, where are you these days, Adam?
I'm actually in the Upper West Side. I'm at a place called Spring Natural Kitchen.
Okay,
which is actually a really cool spot. And this is
they serve kale.
Here's the best part. Yes,
they serve.
Not only
kale,
do we fucking serve kale, we kill our kale. Yeah, we our firstborn children and we wrap them in kale and we slaughter them. That's how we do it. That's how the sacrifice is supposed to happen.
Sounds like a Mel Gibson.
But it sounds very Mel Gibson-y. Esque. I'm at a place right now on the Upper West Side called Spring Natural Kitchen. A really great spot. Really good food. And it's funny because in our original show, you know, being a former co-host with Spiro prior to Crazy Legs, and I love everything you guys are doing now.
Crazy Legs, just understand, he was the one that asked us
to get you.
I know.
I said Crazy Legs I was is not the usurper. Fantastic.
He got me the gig.
Oh, God. We had him on our show as a guest, and I remember sitting there going, God damn, this motherfucker got big. Better questions than I do. Kiss my crippled ass. God is listening.
I owe this man my job here.
No, you don't.
Which I thought paid two free pizzas, but apparently we're over budget for the season. So.
Don't worry. You'll get extra.
We're going to charge it to the beer show before us. They never order any food.
I'm sure the fucking Rocky trainer came out and goes, you're getting two free pieces of supersonic.
Yeah, plug your
it's
place.
For
plug
you.
Your place. Place.
But anyway, no, I'm not plugging my place. The place is fantastic. It's a good place. If anybody's up on the Upper West Side, 83rd in Columbus, do really good things. And it's funny because I say this with an open heart and a refreshing sensibility, saying that I was never a fan of like granola, never a fan of vegan, never a fan of gluten-free shit. But we do a really cool spread for everybody who has any type of dietary restrictions or anything like that whatsoever. So it's a really cool spot. You should all check me out. I bartend Saturday mornings. We have brunch in Bloody Marys, and you can smell your finger at the end of it, at the end of your meal, and I promise you, it will smell clean.
And it will smell like soy.
But that's not to say that there's other options available.
Yes.
But yeah, what are you guys up to, man? I'm really happy to be here as a guest.
I have to say, and I think I'm going to end the show with this. When we started this show, it was Adam and Paul, and then you and me and Paul. I am now, I'm going to make an announcement. I am the VP of Strategic Partnerships at Clean Plates.
Wow, yeah. Congratulations.
We are now all in the food industry.
Yes. He's made it.
I think that was crowd noise.
We've never had a sound effect before
that
either.
Was cool.
Two announcements. Eating disorder got a sound effect. And you're, now
Holy
give me that title
shit.
Again.
VP of Strategic Partnerships.
So that you're telling cool. me.
Yeah, so basically, you know what I am?
If the president gets assassinated over there, you're in that spot.
No, I'm just still the sales douche.
Oh, got it. Okay. Wow, that's way to bring it down.
Yeah.
So do you get a name on the door or like one of those heavy triangular placards?
He gets a taxidermy deer head.
You get a business card?
I get a business card.
When do you get your business card? I want to see it in the boar's teeth.
We're going to put it in the boar's teeth. Yeah. Actually, the company I'm working for now
yes.
was right next to Paul at the Tribeca, what do you call, Food Festival. Fest.
Bell no, Rev.
Food Paul's Fest. At, no, Food Fest.
Paul's
Food
Rod's Fest. At Bell
they,
Rev.
They were actually
they had
one,
a booth?
Yeah, yeah. My marketing director, Chris, was like, we saw Paul. And I'm like, how did you see Paul? She was like, she was right next, he was right next to us.
But
that was another big announcement. Yeah. Chef Paul's got in a sex change since he's
been away. He's transgender.
Rev. We're glad
thank
for
you so much. Thank you so
a
much.
A job you're going to enjoy. You're in the food industry now.
Yay!
Congrats. You want to send us off with telling us? Well, actually, guys, where can people get a hold of you in the social media realm? Jordy, besides people who are hating you for going against neo-Nazi
hashtag fuckingnazi.com. Okay, no
check out the Ramatology on Instagram or Facebook. You can find me there.
Matos achayom bailala motek that's just my translation.
All right, I guess we're done.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right, good night. Yo!
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.